Hello, friends. Welcome back to Bible Sunshine right here in the middle of the week on Wednesday. It is an absolutely gorgeous day in Brooklyn with low humidity, a breeze, and the sun shining. Just beautiful. Well, open your Bible up to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, and we want to finish our thoughts here and tomorrow, Lord willing, move on to chapter 2. Joshua chapter 1, and let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word, for the encouragement of your word, and we pray you'll bless us as we study together today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are looking at the steps to inductive Bible study, observing the details. What does the text say? Observation, interpretation, what does it mean? And then correlation. Are there other texts that relate to this? And yesterday I left a challenge for you to find other answers to the first correlation question. Are there any New Testament parallels to the relationship between Moses and Joshua? If so, what are they and where are they? Well, I did get some responses. And so let me share some of those with you. One of the responses I got was from my dear wife, and she said, I know of one, Aquila and Priscilla. And so in Acts chapter 18, Aquila and Priscilla are mentioned. And notice what it says in Acts 18, verse 24. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. So here are Aquila and Priscilla, a husband and wife team, taking under wing Apollos and discipling him, explaining further to him God's revelation and salvation through Jesus the Messiah. This is a wonderful picture. They took him aside. They were hospitable to him. They spent time with him and they edified him. They encouraged him. They instructed him in the ways of the Lord. So that's a tremendous blessing. And then someone else responded and said, and this was Sister Ella. Sister Ella said, what about Paul and Aquila and Priscilla? So I think this is so interesting. Sister Ella looks at a different angle here of Aquila and Priscilla. Notice Acts 18, verses 2 and 3. And he, that's Paul, found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So Paul came to Aquila and Priscilla. Notice this. So, because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. Do we think that when Paul and Aquila and Priscilla were working together with their leather working, their tent making, that Paul did not discuss with them the things of God? No, I don't think that for a minute. I think they had a living Bible conference with the Apostle Paul. And Paul explained to them and taught them the scriptures. Look down to verse 18. Acts 18, 18. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren, sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. Isn't that interesting? He was with Priscilla and Aquila, undoubtedly. He was teaching them. He was discipling them. And what do we then see them doing at the end of this chapter? They are discipling Apollos. What great connections here. So Paul to Aquila and Priscilla, and then Aquila and Priscilla to Apollos. So these are some great correlations to the Moses-Joshua dynamic. Well, that's not all. It was also suggested by Sister Ella, Jesus and Paul. Well, absolutely. Jesus certainly saved and trained the Apostle Paul. Notice Acts chapter 9 in verse 16. The Lord Jesus is saying here to Ananias, "For I will show him," that is Paul, "how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." The Jesus and Paul dynamic, very strong. Now go over to the book of Galatians, and we see this continued. You know, Paul was isolated for a while from Christians after his salvation. And what was happening during this time? In Galatians chapter 1, verse 12, now let's back up to verse 11. Here's what Paul says, Galatians 1, 11. "But I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." Jesus taught Paul this gospel message, the gospel good news. Well, look down to verse 16 of Galatians 1. "To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus." There was Paul in Arabia. Notice verse 18. "Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. What is Paul doing in Arabia for 3 years? He's being trained by the Lord Jesus. Jesus is training him, teaching him, discipling him. Indeed, a Moses-Joshua dynamic. It's all through Scripture. And we see this very important lesson in the New Testament of one who has been saved training another. And that's what God wants us to do. And it is so fulfilling, absolutely fulfilling, to invest in someone else. If you have been saved for any period of time, and you're growing in the Lord, ask the Lord to give you someone that you can pour your life into, that you can tell them what you have learned, that you can explain salvation to them, that you can explain the Bible to them. And don't think, "But I just don't know enough." Well, then grow and grow and keep growing, but you know more than someone else. Be willing to share that with someone else. Well, so we have these wonderful dynamics, Jesus and Paul, Paul and Aquila and Priscilla. How about this? Paul and Silas. Do we think that Paul had an influence on his fellow worker? Absolutely. Paul and Silas in the book of Acts. And if we look at the Old Testament, we certainly see, and Sister Ella suggested this, God and Gideon. God was training Gideon to trust in him. Remember how he paired the army down to 300 people. God was teaching Gideon to trust in him. He was training him. Well, we could spend some more time on this dynamic, but let me go on to another correlation question. And notice on the left side of your study sheet, there's a specific verse to connect to. And that will help you as you look for that in other passages, that truth in other passages. So in Joshua 1:5, it says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And so the question for our correlation is this: does this promise sound like anything in the New Testament? And if so, where? Well, absolutely, it sounds like something in the New Testament. I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Look over to Matthew 28. Here is the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ giving what we call the Great Commission. And notice how he ends that in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Does that sound like what God promised to Joshua? I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to forsake you. Yes, it does. Jesus here speaks to his authority, and he speaks to his continual presence. Well, look at the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Here is a blessed promise that we need to keep in mind. Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Do you see that? I will never leave you nor forsake you. What a blessed promise. God gave a promise to Joshua. Jesus gave a promise to his disciples. And here the writer to the Hebrews gives a promise to God's people. God has promised he will never leave us nor forsake us. We have his continual presence. We have his help. And therefore, we need to have no fear. In 2020, amidst the COVID pandemic, should God's people be afraid? Should God's people wonder where their help comes from? Should God's people doubt the presence of God? No, no, no. Why? These verses right here, and these other verses that we have correlated with. Well, let me go to the third question on correlation. Can you find any other scriptures, Old or New Testament, which reflect this attitude? And the attitude that we're talking about is from Joshua chapter 1 in verse 16. Notice what is said here, Joshua 1 verse 16. These are the 2.5 tribes, and they say this: and they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Great missionary theme. What you command us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. I like what the one missionary said: where he leads me, I will follow. What they feed me, I will swallow. That's pretty good. Well, do we see this attitude anywhere else in Scripture, that there is a willing obedience to what the Lord has told us? Well, let's go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, and here is a passage on discipleship. Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. Luke 9:57, Jesus said these words: now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you. I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Do you see the sentiment here of these potential disciples? I will follow you, Lord, but some made excuses. I believe the 2.5 tribes in Joshua were sincere in what they said. These people here in Jesus' day, they were sincere. How we need this attitude without condition. Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Luke 9:57. I will obey you. Well, how about Romans 12:1-2? Doesn't that reflect the attitude that is in Joshua chapter 1? This is the attitude that every believer in Jesus Christ should have. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the attitude that we need to have. I will do what you want me to do, Lord. I will go where you want me to go. Here am I, Lord, send me. Can you think of other scriptures that reflect that? I would love to hear from you. Text me or email me. Let me know what else you find to correlate with what the 2.5 tribes were saying in Joshua 1:16. Well, today we go to two more countries in prayer from our Operation World Prayer Handbook, I might say. There are many challenges for prayer listed under each country, but I'm just highlighting a couple of them. And today we're going to Argentina, a country of about 44 million people. And my dear friend, Barry Quartz, and his dear wife, Diane, have been faithful missionaries there for many years. It was our privilege to have them at Easton Baptist Church on Missions Day a few years ago. Barry's the one that, in speaking to a group of teenagers years ago, said, "Any dead fish can float downstream." And he was challenging the young people to follow Christ and to be different for Christ. Indeed, that's the Romans 12:1-2 process, to be transformed, not conformed. Well, here are two prayer requests for this great country of Argentina. Church leadership remains a critical bottleneck in further growth. Leaders who train, disciple, and release other leaders into ministry and who minister in the Word and the Spirit are always needed. I'm glad to say that Barry and Diane Quartz are doing that. They're training and discipling leaders there and releasing them. And then here's another prayer request. Pray that the Spirit will continue to draw many to Himself and to do a deep work in believers. But spiritual openness is also seeing many drawn into cults, including Umbanda, occultism from Brazil. I never heard of that before. As well as to churches with some questionable teachings. So let's pray for Argentina and for discernment there and for leadership. Our next country is Armenia. It is bordering on Turkey and Iran. Here are two prayer requests. Training for leaders and laity is lacking, but is being addressed. And then a prayer request for Christian radio. This is a blessing to know that Christian radio reaches this country. Let's pray. Our Father, we bring before you right now Argentina. For this vast land, Lord, you know the needs. We pray that you will send forth more laborers. We pray, Lord, for training to people there in the gospel. We pray for the discipleship of pastors, and then they would be released into sound biblical churches or to plant new churches. We pray, Lord, that in spiritual openness there, that you will push back the powers of darkness and the way the devil would love to introduce false teaching and occultism. We pray that you will rebuke that. And may the Church of Jesus Christ be strong in truth. Lord, bless the teaching of the Word of God there, multiply it, that many will be saved and discipled. And Lord, we lift up to you Armenia. We pray, Lord, that you will provide teachers to train and disciple young believers in Armenia, to raise up new pastors, that new churches could be started. Bless and multiply the ministry of Trans World Radio and other radio means that reach into this land. We pray, Lord, for the power of the gospel and the internet to reach Armenia. We pray, Lord, that your people will flourish and grow and multiply. Lord, we pray the same for the United States of America. Grant us wisdom and discernment. Give us hearts to seek after you, to have the attitude, here am I, Lord, send me. In Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you, friend. Thank you so much for joining us on Bible Sunshine. I trust you have a wonderful day, and I hope you can join with other believers tonight in some way, Zoom or otherwise, for prayer and fellowship. God bless you.